Hare Krishna. Don't divorce the head from the heart in the bhakti symbiosis. Some people say that the Bhagavad Gita teaches different paths for different people. So they say that for those with the head, Bhagavad Gita teaches the path of jnana, and for those with the heart, Bhagavad Gita teaches the path of bhakti. However, if we study the Bhagavad Gita carefully, it does not entertain such splitting or such compartmentalization of our essential human faculties. Now, let's look at the flow of thought in the conclusion of the Gita to understand this point. In 18.63, Krishna tells, Mimrishyaita dasheshena yathechasi tatha kuru. He says, deliberate deeply on this message and then decide what you want to do. This indicates that Krishna is urging us to use the head, to choose the right path. So here he is talking about using the head. Then just a few verses later, in 18.65 and 66, Manmana bhav mad bhakto and sarvadharman parityajya. In both these verses, Mamekam sharanam raja bhav mad bhakto, both are talking about the heart. Become my devotee. Surrender to me. So both are faculties of the heart. So here Krishna is urging us to offer our heart in love to Him. And yet, a few verses later, in 18.70, Krishna commends those who use the head. Adeshyate chaya imam dharmyam samvadamavayo jnana yagyena tenaham ishtasyamiti me matihi. In 18.70, Krishna says that Adeshyate, those who study the sacred conversation of ours, they worship me with their intelligence. So here Krishna is saying that the head can be used not just for dry intellectual analysis, but the head can also become a part of devotional worship if it is applied to study the sacred message of the Gita. And then in 18.76-77, it describes how Sanjaya, who is remembering the Lord with a jubilant heart, is in ecstasy. Tatcha samsmritya samsmritya samvadam imam adbhutam keshavarjuna yo punyam rishyami cha muhurmuhu. And next verse it says, rishyami cha punha punha. So there is a loving remembrance. This fond remembrance is the faculty of the heart. It is not just some intellectual recollection, but it is a fond, cherished remembrance of the heart. And what is happening? The heart is being filled with jubilance. Rishyami cha muhur muhu. So, in this way we see that the Bhagavad Gita talks about integrating the head and the heart while offering our entire being to Krishna. So, it doesn't divorce the head and the heart. The head is for one path and the heart is for one path. No. The Bhagavad Gita essentially talks about one path that takes us to God, and in that it integrates both the head and the heart. Another compartmentalization that some people try to do is, they say insight is the faculty of the head and affection is the faculty of the heart. However, the Bhagavad Gita integrates both of them. If we look at another important section in the Gita, which is the Chatushloki Gita, that is 10.8-11. So there 10.8, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. Itimatva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanvitaha. So here Krishna says that those who come to know about His supreme position as the source of everything, so buddha, they become enlightened. And after they become enlightened, what happens? Bhajante maam bhava samanvitaha. They worship me. How? Bhava samanvitaha. With complete emotion. So here the insight about Krishna's supremacy leads to affection, wholehearted affection for Him. So rather than separating insight and affection, both are integrated. Insight leads to affection. And then yet, two verses later Krishna says that affection leads to greater insight. In 10.10 he says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. So Krishna says, those who worship me, those who serve me, Bhajatam priti purvakam, with affectionate attitude. What happens to them? Dadami, I personally give to them what? Buddhi yogam. I give them intelligence. the intelligence by which they can practice yoga. They can connect with me and yena maam upayanti te, they can come back to me. So again, Bhagavad Gita describes the symbiosis of insight and affection. 10.8 says insight leads to affection, and 10.10 describes that affection leads to insight. So essentially, there is a bhakti symbiosis which involves offering up our entire being to Krishna. So to understand what the Bhagavad Gita is essentially telling, we can consider that it is essentially talking about a celebration of person-to-person love in the arena of transcendence. That means we are persons, Krishna is a person, and it is not that Krishna sees, okay, this is the head and the head will come to me by the path of jnana. This is the heart will come to me by the path of bhakti. No, we are complete persons, Krishna is a complete person, and all our faculties, head and heart, are connected with Krishna and offered to Krishna. And this is what Krishna says, again, when he is talking in 9.29, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, mai te te shuchapyaham. Krishna says that, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, those who worship me with devotion, what happens to them? I am in them and they are in me. This is the person-to-person intimate relationship. It is not that Krishna is talking about ontological merging, but of an emotional meeting, where the meeting is so close that it is as if the devotee lives in Krishna and Krishna lives in the devotee. So Krishna, in this way, describes essentially a bhakti symbiosis by which all of us can enter into a world of eternal ecstatic love with our complete being. Whatever Krishna has given us, some of us may be more intellectually oriented. If we offer our intellect to Krishna, that can please him and we can approach him through that. Some of us may be more emotionally oriented and we can offer the emotions to him and we can move closer to him. The essential point is that we offer our complete being. What Krishna wants to see is what he has given us, whether in affection, in love, in devotion, we are ready to offer it back to him. So rather than trying to think that, oh, I am more sentimental or I am more intellectual, what we should focus on is that, am I being devotional? And devotional means, whatever I have, I offer it to Krishna. Whether it be my head or my heart or both. If I offer what I have to Krishna, Krishna will actually offer himself to us. Maite, he says, I live in such a devotee. And when he offers himself to us, then eternal ecstatic life with him in his eternal abode of love automatically follows. Thank you. Hare Krishna.